Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion for this Thursday morning. It is the 24th of May and a beautiful day outside in most neighborhoods. Hopefully it is wherever you are. And we just welcome you to our program and thank you for joining us. I think we have some fun and some surprises in store for you this morning. So I think we'll have a good time talking about what's going on in the world, as much fun as you can have with what's going on in the world. But, you know, what's the alternative? So let me introduce the group. By the way, if you'd like to be a part of the conversation, all you have to do is write to us, panel@wamc.org. Panel@wamc.org. We'll get your letters and we'll go through them and try to get to as many as we possibly can. We get far more than we have time for, but we try to get in as many as we can from fresh names and faces, let's say. Joining us for the discussion this morning, we have our good friend, Teresa Bourgeois. And Teresa is a communications consultant, and it is always lovely to have her with us. Good morning, Teresa.
Good morning, and I'm just so delighted to be here.
Very nice to have you with us, a professor of journalism at the College of St. Rose, my alma mater, is here. She is with us on Thursday, and we thank you very much. Kaylin Brown, how are you?
Good, Joe. Good to see you.
Always good to see you. Also, I always love when you're here because I my two bosses are are together. So that's good. I like that.
What two bosses? Where's Kelly?
Yeah, well, that's true. That's a good point.
Right.
Very good point, Al. And oh my God, look who came in this morning. We have our dear, dear friend Helen DeFosses is with us. For those of you who are longtime listeners of WAMC, you certainly know who Helen is. If you have been listening only over the last year or so, Helen was the former Albany City Council president. She was a long time professor at the Rockefeller College as well as SUNY Albany, and is in town for the 40th anniversary Center for Women in Government and Civil Society at UAlbany, which you had a lot to do with. And then you went and you left us. You abandoned us, and you went down to the belly of the beast to Washington, D.C., where you are now teaching presidential politics, amongst other things, at George Mason University, and we are thrilled that you are back with us this morning.
I am delighted. And the station identification, I noticed, takes longer and longer, much longer than when I was here, because there are so many stations and transmitters and whatever. So congratulations, Alan, and everybody else who was involved.
Well, we'll get to the point where we get down to Washington.
That's how you're coming. Soon. I feel you coming.
Yeah, we'll do that soon. And Alan Chartok is with us. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. I have many things on my mind today, as I usually do, but the one thing that is overwhelming is getting this $25,000 grant from the Spitzer Foundation. If by June 4th in the morning at 6 o'clock in the morning, we have $500,000. And Joe, what do we got now?
Well, we currently have $307,876 in the lockbox.
So that means that we have about $200,000, and we have about 6 days to do it in.
Yep.
And it's scary. It is scary. I got a letter yesterday saying if Chartok would just stop saying how scared he is or worried he is, I'll give some money. And I wrote back to this character, and I said, that's your excuse? Because, you know, as my twin brother Lewis always said, there are 1,000 reasons not to give, but there's one great reason to give, and that's because you love this radio station. And you tell me that all the time, and we are in love with you when you say that. So we have a lot to do here this morning, Joe. You want to tell us, look, we have friends. We have friends in high places. Our friends in high places, in this case, are Tanglewood. We love them. They have been so generous with us. They gave us, get this, 500 pair of tickets, of lawn tickets, 500 pairs of long tickets. You don't do that for any reason except that you love your partners in this. We love them, and we play every Tanglewood concert, and they love us, and we're just immensely grateful.
So yesterday, we launched the tickets and announcing it, and we went, Alan said we got 500. We went through a third of them.
Wow.
So yes. A third of them are already gone.
Because
wow.
You have smart
so
listeners.
We have
know
smart
how great
listeners.
Tanglewood
so
is.
if we do a third today or the rest, we'd be in a very good place. So if you would like a pair of undated lawn tickets to the Boston Symphony Orchestra or Boston Pops at Tanglewood, undated, that is for some 24 shows that would be make you eligible to go see. So
but put another way, Joe, it would be the whole summer. Basically, the whole summer you get a choice.
Well, it's June 24th through August 26th, so that's
the
core
summer.
Of summer. Yeah.
Yeah, and so that's the way I like to put it. But here's what: there has never been a fun drive where Tanglewood has given us undated lawn passes. In other words, you get to go once. Undated lawn passes in which by the end of the drive they're not gone, and if it's a one-day drive, they're gone. And if it's more than a one-day drive, they're gone. So I'm just simply saying to you, and people get mad at us, and I'm sorry. It seems to be my luck to get people yelling at me over the telephone. But they get mad at us that they're all gone. So don't procrastinate. Do it now and help the radio station, and we'll get through. And they will be out the door. Go ahead, Joe.
Well, yeah, so the fact is that already a third of them are out the door. So if you want them, they're probably going to be gone before the fun drive. So
they may be
by
gone
Memorial Day, don't you?
Yeah,
or
well,
maybe
by today.
Or maybe today.
Yeah, by today, by the end of this, by in an hour and 10 minutes.
Because there is the so-called whoosh factor. As people realize that we're close to giving them all out, they come in larger numbers. That's the so-called whoosh factor. I just apologize in advance. Do not call your lover, your husband, your wife, your maid.
Your congressman.
Don't call anybody and say, well, should I? Come on, just do it. Just do it.
1-800-323-9262 is the telephone number. WAMC.org, WAMC.org to do it online. And it is essential. We got to keep the lockbox going. $25,000 at stake. So just to keep the numbers, we need $500,000 by the start of the fund drive on June 4th. We are already at $307,000, so we need about $193,000 to go between now and June 4th, which is only like a week and 3 days. So we need you desperately. And if not, we lose that $25,000 challenge. We don't want to do that. And also, we have all these cool things that are available to you that probably won't be available to you once the drive begins.
Now, Joe, if you listen to the fund drives, because we heard from this guy, he's still on my mind, named Joel. I know the guy. And he said, you always make it. You always make it. No, we don't always make it. If you listen to the fund drives, you will have heard several times when a major challenge is on the table and we don't make it. And believe me, it's possible not to make this too.
It is incumbent upon all of us to make sure that we make it. And it's WAMC.org, 1-800-323-9262, 1-800-323-WAMC. You get the, whatever you can do. Whatever you can do. But if you want the tickets, they're $100. If you would like a blanket with that, we can do that for $150. If you want some wine tumblers to go with that, great. We'll figure, you can work all that out with your operator on the phone.
Standing by.
Or, that's right, operators are standing by. Or all of those options are on the website as well. WAMC.org, 1-800-323-9262. Don't miss this opportunity. We're going to be...
Whoosh.
We're going to be talking about it throughout the morning, so we'll get going there, and we're excited about that. But we are also excited because we have a great panel here, and we want to get to what is going on and talk about what is happening in our world. So we begin with Jared Kushner, who gets security clearance. And what this means, ending a swirl of questions over the delay. What we found out yesterday is here you have the senior presidential aide with a prominent role in the Middle East diplomacy, but his FBI background checks dragged on for a year and became a political distraction. Yesterday, all of that cleared. But there are still a lot of things with the special counsel investigating some of Mr. Kushner's meetings with Russia officials that left open the question of whether investigators had uncovered evidence that made him a security threat. And now they're saying, well, does that mean he's not a threat? And what exactly does it mean? And, of course, we don't really know. So that's why we have a panel to discuss it.
I don't have much to say here except that is it possible that there's a little mind playing here with Mueller, who thinks, look, I have said all along, Helen, you haven't been around for this, but I've been saying all along, when Donald Trump gets into a corner, he's going to have to fire Mueller. He's going to have to fire Mueller. He's going to have to fire Rosenstein because he's not going to have any choice. Otherwise, the guy's going to get impeached. The guy is going to get thrown out. And I think that that is going to happen. Well, maybe I'm alone in that, but I truly believe that that's what's up. So now they give a free pass, basically, to Kushner. You're telling me that Kushner, without a security clearance, doesn't get whispered to what's going on in Israel or what's going on with each of these things? He knew. So by giving it to him, maybe they give a little bit of breathing space to the Trumpistas.
You know, when you live in the suburbs of Washington, D.C., national politics become your local politics. Sure. I mean, we cannot avoid it. Paul Manafort lives around the corner from me.
Did you ever see him?
I haven't seen him, but my neighbors live in his building. You know, my friends live in his building. And when the FBI came knocking on the door at 3 o'clock one morning or 5 o'clock and took away 900,000 documents or something.
That's great.
There they were, peering over the balcony.
Do you get good phone reception when you're around his bracelet?
Well, things have gotten very complicated in the neighborhood. But there's so much tension now around the Trump administration and who's investigating whom. And both sides, as you know, are trying to impeach, if you would, the integrity, the reputation of the other, particularly around the media. And the Trump people are trying to make the media look terrible, and the Democrats are trying to make the Trump people look terrible. And meanwhile, there's a midterm election that's brewing. It's coming in November, and the stakes are going to be very high for both the Democrats, who should win a lot of seats and maybe a House or two, and the Republicans, who want to hang on to what they have.
That he now has a clearance, I think, raises a question about the subjectivity of who gets to have a clearance and who doesn't and under what circumstances. So what kind of preparation did Jared Kushner have to have the position he has right now? That's the security clearance question I have. Is this person up for the task? He's not been prepared to do this. He's not spent any part of his lifetime involved in diplomatic work. That is not what he did for a living. He made money off of properties that are in jeopardy right now, correct?
Yes, but here's the deal. Here's Kushner, who has been at least talked about as having to do with this relationship with the Russians. And so are you giving a security clearance to somebody who, by the way, testified for 7 hours, we learned yesterday, before Mueller. Are you giving clearance to a guy who was supposed to have set up a meeting, gone to a meeting with Russian people and all the rest? It is discouraging for some of us to think that this may be a signal that Mueller is letting Trump off the hook.
It does look like that. I agree.
But also, it doesn't it, Teresa, bring into question as to just what it means to have security clearance? I mean, he was already doing his job without security clearance. So what does this mean?
Right. One of the things I've been confused about is particularly the he was very prominent in the opening of the embassy in Israel and in ongoing talks with Netanyahu. And I don't know how one could do that and be representing the United States without being briefed, fully briefed, and according to the rules, which don't seem to matter anymore, he should have not have been briefed without the security clearance. And, what became clear a couple months ago is that many people in the White House did not have proper security clearance. And there's so many, there's just such an avalanche of stories that one has been forgotten. And so I wonder how he was able to get security clearance. There's been stories about his, you know, 666 building where he and his family have been asking for, you know, trying to negotiate financing for that, which is in deep economic trouble. At the same time, he's doing business with companies that they're trying to get loans from. So how could you have all of the, how could you have attended the Trump Tower meeting, how you could be still doing business, trying to raise funds from countries that you're negotiating with. How could you do all of this and still get a security clearance? It's confusing to me how it happens. And I still want to know, well, what about all those other people in the White House who it became obvious, you know, it was then reported on that they also didn't have clearance. What about them? And I think about this in the context of the campaign in which Trump railed against Hillary Clinton for reported abuses of classified, you know, use of classified information for which she had been cleared. There were no such abuses, but he alleged them. Mm-hmm. And to then to have so little respect for the issues around classified information. And we see that today, which I'm sure we'll get to with the meeting. You know, they just don't respect the issues around classified information.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversations. We welcome your letters. Panel at WAMC.org. Panel at WAMC.org. Panel at WAMC.org. Also, don't forget the lockbox and the opportunity to get wonderful tickets to Tanglewood and to help the lockbox, WAMC.org.
They're telling me, by the way, that the phones are all ringing off the hook.
Yay.
We'll be back right after this. Little Stan Kenton this morning. Very nice to hear that music. Last night I went to go see Journey and Def Leppard, and our board op Mike Bowen was there too. We had it was a lot of fun, wasn't it? It was an amazing
show. We can hear a little
show.
Journey at the break?
No, we probably should.
I think
yeah,
at
it'd be
the
great.
10 o'clock. Don't
oh
you
my
think?
God, we had fun. My singing a lot last night.
How
my
old
voice
did everybody
a little raspy.
Look, Joe?
You know what? They're all, they know their demographic.
Everybody was young at heart.
That's right. That's right. We look.
Are you going to sing a little Journey for us right now?
No, I'm not. here's a reminder. We need a gentle reminder for the lockbox. We need your help. We are going, the phones are ringing. A lot of people out there getting tickets. If you want yours, make sure you're not outside of the gates of Tanglewood instead of inside on the lawn where you should be.
It'd make a nice gift, don't you think?
Absolutely. 1-800-323-9262.
You know, there's only one real reason to give. It's because you listen to the radio station, and you know how many people listen every month, Helen. I don't know if you're up on the latest stats.
What are the latest?
500,000 people listen to this radio station every month.
Wow.
500,000 people.
Mazel tov.
And if people are concerned about its continuance, there's only one way to keep it continued. Put something into the fuel tank. It's really, we're depending on you, and we really do thank you for doing it.
You pay your cable bill, you pay all the others.
May I just have one more second to clear something up that occurred on the show yesterday? There was a major intellectual debate as to who deserved the credit for having created the awful, which I said was Friendly, and somebody sent me an awful glass from the Friendly in Great Barrington. Well, then, Joe, somebody else here said, I think it was David Soares, said that in his town, it was the, do you remember the name?
It was the Newport Creamery.
The Newport Creamery.
Yes.
So I actually went back and looked it up, and there was a tussle between the two of them as to who created the awful. They both had it, but Friendly gave it up, and it became the Fribble. And that's how it happened.
Oh, that's how.
It started as Bond's Ice Cream in New Jersey, and they started the awful.
And what is the awful for those of us who don't know?
It's basically frozen malted ice milk, and flavored syrup milk. And
like a
secret
shake?
Yes. It's a thick milkshake is what it is.
I'd like one right now.
And so Bond's Ice Cream of New Jersey, they invented it, they trademarked it, and then they licensed it to the Newport Creamery and to Friendly's.
Isn't that interesting?
And before it was Friendly's, and at the time it was just in a couple of restaurants in Massachusetts. And then when Friendly's expanded, it had to change the name to the Fribble. And then Newport bought the awful, awful name, and do you know how much they spent for it?
How much?
$1,000.
Wow. How come? How come they got it so
you
cheap?
You just can't get information like this on any other news station.
No, and my co-counselor at Camp Bronx House back in the day when I was a kid, every time a kid did something, he would say, "That's awful, awful."
And wouldn't it be awful, awful if all of these tickets to Tanglewood didn't go out the door?
That would be awful, awful.
That would be awful, awful. So call, call.
So on your way to Tanglewood with your lawn tickets, you can stop at Friendly's and get a Fribble.
Yeah, you can.
And ask
get
for an awful, awful,
awful,
awful and see what happens.
1-800-323-9262. WAMC.org.
I put with a all that's going on in the world. Okay. It is awful.
We need
a shake. Absolutely. We need to shake things up.
All right.
Mike says, Trump and the NFL. I think the NFL caved in, you think, to Donald Trump and the national anthem issue. Several
disgraceful.
Things, several things struck me. One, Donald had coveted being an NFL franchise owner and was rejected by the league because of his questionable finances.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Two, the bulk of the NFL players involved in the anthem protests are black. Trump went after them, basically calling them, quote, ungrateful. Three, ironic that Trump would demand that players respect the flag and the national anthem, ignoring the principles behind both that Donald pays lip service to, but in reality ignores. And that's Mike from Glens Falls.
All right.
Well,
One thing I'd point out is that in response to this news about not kneeling or getting fined if you kneel, the New York Jets have decided that they're not going to adhere to this rule. And if they get fines, go Jets. So they're just going to take the fines on and let their players do as they will. And I'm excited about this. My husband and son are Jets fans.
It's the acting owner who's taken the money out of his own pocket to pay the fines for any player who wants to do it. And the other thing that I think gets lost in the story, which I don't think is the right course of action here, but it is that if you choose not to go on the field, that is okay.
You can stay in the clubhouse.
You can stay in the locker room and then come out after. But that doesn't, you know, then you're hiding the symbol of the protest that you're doing.
Right.
Also, I can't wait to see, and I hope this winds its way. I hope it's not something that gets stalled, but I can't wait to see this Colin Kaepernick case of accusing the NFL of colluding against him to get a job in the NFL. I would love to see that move through the courts and it'd be really interesting to see what happens.
You've only got so many years.
I was just going to say that the politics of sports have become incredibly intense because they're so bound up with Trump's appeal to his base, right? I mean, this is very important to him. It's also being bound up in the preparations for the 2018 midterm elections.
But it's faux patriotism. I mean, this is not, this, you know, this is Trump misunderstanding the basic, you know, tenets of our democracy.
Worried about the flag, but not worried about democracy.
Right. I agree with you, Teresa. And not only that, he also said that fans should politicize this whole situation, and fans should be supportive of the flag. I would say fans who are supportive of those who kneel, fans should sit. How about them apples?
Yeah, or
that's a lot of apples.
Or, you know, and I doubt this will happen, but I mean, what we saw last season of the of declining ratings, or don't go, don't go to the games.
But I like a baseball game. But right. I'm not going to be told to stand for the flag if I don't want to. No way.
That's right.
A very good point.
I'm there to see a ball game.
That's a very good point.
And also, Kaepernick and others said, you know, kneeling was they felt a respectful way to make their point without disrespecting the flag. How did kneeling become disrespectful? And, you know, I think Christopher Johnson from the Jets, you know, he's of the Robert Wood Johnson family. You know, I thought he was fantastic. He said there's some big, complicated issues that we are all struggling with, and our players are on the front lines. I don't want to come down on them like a ton of bricks, and I won't. There will be no club fines or suspensions. If the team gets fined, that's something I'll have to bear. I really, you're right. That's very impressive.
And the editorial in the New York Times today took to task the NFL for kneeling. I love that they use that headline, kneeling to Trump. And I think it's remarkable and worth noting, and people should read that editorial.
And think about the leaked tape. Remember the leaked tape of the owners their private meeting talking. And in that private meeting on that leaked tape, they all disagreed with this. Yet this is what they do publicly.
You know, in politics, it's never over till it's over. This story's going to go on and on and on and be intertwined with national politics, local politics. In Washington, people are crazed about sports, as you know,
right?
Because we just won this big championship.
Well, the Capitals
are going
to the Stanley Cup. We're excited.
This is a case where, you know, this is about leadership. You can use your leadership to bring people together or to drive them apart. And this is a profound case where the President of the United States is using his megaphone, his leadership, to try to drive a wedge between people for his own political gain as opposed to try to bring us together. It's shameful.
So here's another letter. Yeah. This one from Casey. Teach us something, Helen. Good morning, panel, and welcome back to Reality-Based Conversation, Helen. Question for Helen. As you are teaching presidential politics, please share with us something about presidential politics that you have discovered through your teaching experience that you believe we need, in capital letters, need to know, that we do not know now. Thank you for reading this.
That sounds like a question you'd get from a Q&A at the end of a long lecture.
Yeah, let me think about that for a minute.
At the Commonwealth Club.
Exactly.
I was not prepared for how intense the politics have become under Donald Trump. And the fact is that he's very divisive, as Teresa just said. And there are many more mechanisms, social media, all kinds of things which people are using to blast those divisive messages around. And it's very, very destructive. And I don't think it's going to be possible for the political process and the institutions that you were all talking about to gain control of that again. I'm very worried about the diminution of faith in American institutions, which is being encouraged and played by Donald Trump as a political action, a political tactic, a political
strategy. Thank you for
using
diminution, by the way.
Well,
and once you violate these norms and it's successful in his election, I mean, can you ever then get that back?
You
cannot. This is the thing that I worry so much about.
And once you tear the social fabric, you cannot get it back. And I was watching the tape of the arrest of that
football player.
The AP reporter who was pushed out of the EPA?
No, this is the basketball player, right?
Where they tased him.
Yeah.
Now, we are seeing more and more of that. It always has a racial perspective now. There's a black, driver, a black athlete, or whatever, and white policemen who seem to be tasing, subduing, cracking over the head. We're getting just so many terrible messages now, and I don't know how the Democrats who don't, in Congress, who seem to be holding back, they don't want to get into the fray. They're afraid that they might lose their seats. And who is coming out in on behalf of rejoining of the building together message of politics and journalism? We're not hearing that.
Well, one last question for you. You're teaching at George Mason University. Perhaps in a sentence you could tell us who George Mason was again?
Well, he was one of the founders, and I'm very proud to be there. I'm only there teaching in the Lifelong Learning Institute, and I have students who, and first time in my life,
They knew George Mason.
Yes. Thank you. and I have students who are all there because they want to be there. These are adults.
Isn't that wonderful? Yeah.
I've never had that experience where students weren't there because they didn't, they don't need the credits. Their parents haven't said to them, you better go take this course. The university isn't saying, you're not going to graduate, whatever. Everybody's there as an adult learner because they want to be there. So that's a wonderful perspective. And a lot of Republicans who take me on in front of the class, which is also
interesting.
Also fantastic.
Good. Okay, so Jill says, Alan was right, but Jill and I don't agree what I was right about. There's a double, triple, quadruple fake out. Here it goes. The other day he said, and I can only paraphrase, that Democrats may have to start behaving more like Republicans when it comes to getting their message through. With all due respect to Michelle Obama, the days of when they go low, we go high may have to take a back seat. Democrats can't afford to play by the rules anymore. The Trump agenda seems to be getting out loud and clear. His numbers are rising. The Democrats are falling. I feel that there will be no blue wave in November because the Democrats aren't being heard. So, Jill, I think there's a nuance issue here. What I said the other day was that they have to get out and behave strongly Otherwise, they are letting the Republicans carry the message. I don't think Democrats should behave more like Republicans, only in that. And by the way, I do think there's a big tent here. So everybody who says anybody who isn't on the absolute Bernie Sanders way of doing things is wrong. I think that's incorrect. I think it has to be a big tent. They have to be reflective of the congressional district that they're in, and that's the way you win elections.
Alan, can I ask, would you agree that they did it correctly in regards to this meeting today at the White House where Nunes was going to go alone and he and, you know, one of his colleagues, but Schumer went to the floor yesterday. He and Pelosi sent up a jointly signed letter, very strongly worded, saying, you know, this violates all of the rules and norms and regulations. You can't let that happen.
I do.
So,
I think that is admirable. However, it's the way that they do it. In other words, they do it sensibly. They do it in sotto voice. But I really think in a case like this, they could have gone even further and been even more outraged than they were. Helen?
I just wanted to say that President Obama and Mrs. Obama, you know, I think they were trying to stay out of a lot of the current political maelstrom, but not anymore. And they both made a big deal with Netflix for creating a lot of programming. Right. And they said that there's nothing political about what they're doing, but they called their company the Higher Ground Production Company, which they're going to take the higher ground. They're saying we're not going to let the Republicans rule the day. And Schumer has just been fantastic, Alan. I just want to say that I think he's playing this in a beautiful way. I think this has been the most amazing expansion of his talents and his purview. And I'm waiting to see how this is all going to play out. Mm. This is a high-stakes political game now. Like you say, that we're just going to have the Republicans being briefed today and, you know, not get the Dems in there.
It's outrageous that they would do that in a nonpartisan way.
And Schumer wasn't going to stand for it, and neither was Pelosi, who's been denounced repeatedly.
But what are their choices when you say they're not going to stand for it? They don't stand for, you know, my problem with them is that the Republicans have the majority in both houses of Congress. And I think when you saw Mitch McConnell giving hell to Barack Obama every single day, and I don't see Chuck Schumer doing that.
I don't either. But I do think in this case they threaded the needle in that they made it clear without doing what Trump does, which is violating basic norms and rules. They made it clear that this is not how democracy works. Now, there's still, as of now, I don't know if it's changed, there's still two meetings, not one. There should only be one meeting, not two. And Schumer has called them on it.
And how do you exclude the Democrats discussion like this?
So we have to go to a break, but there is breaking news that CNN is reporting that the White House is now saying that the North Korean summit between President Trump and President Kim will not happen. So it has been canceled.
Whoa.
So we'll find out with some more information about that. Let's take a break. We'll try to get some more info on that, and we'll be right back after this. Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable. Again, news that we're just getting. The White House has put out a statement saying that the Trump-Kim summit will not happen, with the president writing to the president of North Korea saying that they are canceling due to the, quote, open hostility. The open hostility in North Korea's recent statements. So that is where we are right now. You are shaking. You look very pained, Ellen.
I am pained because when the Trump administration came in, there was a lot of really hostile talk between Kim Jong-un and President Trump about war. And it, you know, it's very scary when you live in Washington and people around you are talking about war all the time. Then in recent weeks, things looked pretty promising about a summit. And then when Pence went and Pompeo, and they both said, hey, he better watch out and look at the example of what happened to Libya and, you know, Gaddafi. Well, what was Kim Jong-un going to conclude from that? Other than that was a very threatening remark. I don't think the initiative for the reduction in comity and cooperation is coming from North Korea. I think that it was deliberately trumped up, if you would.
You may be right.
Pence going to make that statement.
You know, this, Helen, we've been talking about this all along. This art of the deal thing is always, we have to get an advantage in any conversation that we're going to have.
That we have to get the advantage?
Yes.
Oh, yes, and we want it all now. We right. want all of the concessions to be made by North Korea now. And they're saying in a very reasonable way, hey, we'll make one, you make one. Oh, sorry, no deal. I don't see it.
So, quote, sadly, based on the tremendous anger and open hostility displayed in your recent statement, I feel it is inappropriate at this time to have this long-planned meeting, Trump said in a letter. I don't think the Trump administration was prepared for this meeting. I don't think they were ready. And I don't think it's a surprise. I think when you name John Bolton, right, that sent a signal. And the North Koreans reacted to that. The meeting on Tuesday, I thought it was interesting with President Trump in the media availability when he was meeting with the leader of South Korea, kept talking about, in a sense, denigrating what the Chinese were doing. I don't think that they were ready.
It's interesting, though, that North Korea had allegedly dismantled this nuclear site, even though they didn't have independent monitors there to verify or make sure it actually happened.
They said that they had the press there, though.
Yes, they did. And to what degree that was dismantled, I guess, is an open question. So why was North Korea doing that in the first place, if not to
prepare a plan? Because it was a facility, reportedly, that they didn't really need.
Yeah, but it was also a gesture. A lot of this is, you know, the politics of symbols or the symbols of politics are very important, right? And everybody's playing the game. And we have a president who's known as the master of the art of the deal. Well, let's let him show his stuff. And maybe he couldn't because the grunt work hadn't been done behind the scenes.
Well, right.
To
this
get ready.
Was an effort by Kim, it tells me, to prepare a path. So that was an effort for the North Koreans to prepare a path for a summit.
Just like the beautiful work that the South Koreans did around the Olympics. I think all that was symbolism,
that
but important, laying the groundwork. Right, Alan?
Oh. Mm-hmm. What?
I was actually previewing the letters.
Oh, okay. So you were not. Okay.
So I'm sorry, teacher. I'm not prepared.
But I think President Trump thought that the big concession he was making.
F means focused. He was focused.
Go ahead, Ellen.
I thought President Trump thought the big concession he was making was offering even to sit down with the North Korean president, and he didn't really have to do any more.
But not understanding, I think when he says these outside of the scope of meetings with his own diplomatic team,
that's right.
He says this not understanding what it means for the president of the United States to sit with the leader of North Korea.
But don't you think, Helen, that the Chinese have a great deal to do with the way this is all being played?
Well,
but their latest statement, as of this morning's paper, was, we're happy to see these discussions going on with North Korea and the United States, and we hope they continue.
I'm sure that's the signal. The signal is, we're pushing the button. It's going to happen. It's just a matter of time when it happens. And they have a great deal to say about the way North Korea behaves. And you, more than anybody who really does understand China so well.
I mean, just about a half hour before this statement from the White House, there was this post in the New York Times saying that a delay in the meeting may benefit the president of China, who could use his influence with North Korea as leverage while China negotiates a trade deal with Washington. So they're saying China may benefit from the delay, and now you have the delay.
Right.
You know, and by the way, it was being called before the possibility of a delay, and now it's the word they're using is canceled. And it's also the president is citing, quote, tremendous anger from the North Korean side.
There have been a lot of administrations in the United States that I'm sure have been as disruptive or ill-prepared or clumsily functioning as this one. But we didn't have all the media coverage of it. We didn't have all the playing of factions by the media or factions going to the media. We have so much information now about the infighting going on in this administration, and outside countries, outside negotiators, outside powers can listen and are hiring, in many cases, Washington consulting firms to help them figure out what the Trump administration is doing and how they can fare best.
But what in recent memory administration is as ill-prepared as this one?
I don't think there's any that's as ill-prepared, but or that weren't as ill-prepared. But the infighting within that administration wasn't made so public, either by factions within the administration who are going to the media and ratting on each other, or by media contacts. I mean, it's just a Wild West situation all the way around now.
We have to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue. Alan has letters, and we need your help with the lockbox. WAMC.org is where you go to help out. WAMC.org. You can get your tickets for the Boston Symphony Orchestra and the Boston Pops. A summer full of fun. Tickets, undated lawn tickets, anytime you want to go for Tanglewood. And all you have to do, it's a $100 pledge to WAMC. We thank our friends at Tanglewood. WAMC.org. You can also call us 1-800-323-9262, 1-800-323-9262. And just a reminder, this is all to get us to the $500,000 point we make $25,000 from the Spitzer Trust. So all of that going on, we need your help. WAMC.org. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion. Listening to a little Stan Kenton this morning. Very nice. 8 minutes past the hour of 10 o'clock. We have a hell of a panel this morning. Alan Chartok is here. He'll be going over some letters in just a moment. Kaylin Brown, a professor at the College of St. Rose, the journalism professor there. I guess you're not the sole journalism professor at the College of St. Rose.
We
have many wonderful professors.
You're the chair, aren't you?
I am a piece of furniture. Yes, I'm the chair. I am a chair.
The boss of all journalists.
Teresa Bourgeois is here, and this is sad, but this is Teresa's last day for a while.
Indeed it is. Yeah.
But she knows she can come back anytime.
We told her that, but here's the problem. When they want you, they want you, and you have a full-time job, and they want you. So
yes, I'm a communications consultant, and I have some new opportunities that make it impossible for me to continue doing this for a while. So unfortunately, I will not be able to. But
you know, it's hard to believe that you would go to someone who pays you. But I get it.
Yeah.
But we're very sad. So make me two promises.
Yes.
One, whenever people yell at Alan and I to say that why do we let Teresa go, we'll send those letters to you and
absolutely,
you can defend yourself.
Right.
Oh, it's just...
And then also that, yes, you're welcome back whenever you want to come back. Whenever you have something on your mind, let's do
it. And Joel test the waters every morning and every once in a while and say, hey, Teresa, could you come on today?
Hey, are you still working?
are you still working?
People love Teresa.
They do.
I hear about it all the time.
I do indeed.
This has been such a privilege for me. I really love the opportunity and appreciate Alan and Joel letting me do this, and everybody, kind comments and the helpful comments and such, and it's hard to believe I won't be able to still keep doing it, but I'll be back. I'll be back, but for a little while, I won't be able to work it out.
Do you want us to take you off the email?
I actually love reading the email.
Okay, all right.
If I'm allowed to stay, you learn so much from people's emails, you know. And I was thinking there's a couple of people that wrote in saying that they just could not stand listening to me anymore. They had to shut the radio off. So whoever you are out there, you can turn your radio back on now.
Yeah, right. Right, as if we haven't heard that for each of us. Right. And then they write you a letter the next day saying, but you said today. Say, wait, I thought you had turned the radio off.
So now that there's a position open, Helen DeFosses is here.
Ready.
Come back.
Yay.
Helen, Linda Fossas is visiting us. She now is in the D.C. area, lives in Alexandria, but is up for a wonderful anniversary that took place at UAlbany and is here with us this morning, a longtime WAMC commentator, I think one of our first commentators.
Very long time.
Very long time. A wonderful lifelong relationship with this radio station, and we're thrilled to have you back this morning.
Thank you.
So it's nice to have you here. It's sad to have Teresa go, although she brought donuts, so it made it a little bit
better. Yeah,
that's who did that.
Yeah. Yes,
thanks, Sweets, to thank everyone for being so sweet.
Well, we appreciate everything you've done. I refuse to say goodbye because I expect to have you back in a few.
This is a see you later.
And when you go out there, Teresa, and inspect those pastries, you'll find that some little rat has taken one corner out of one.
Uh-oh. I got bran muffins for you, Alan.
My mother eats that way. I'm just taking a little bit of this.
That's right. That's right.
Little by little.
Just a little bit. Little. Yeah,
and they're from the Schuyler Bakery in Watervliet. So that's,
yeah,
oh my
the
God.
Schuyler Bakery. Isn't it wonderful?
Shout out to Jay.
Back to
letters. Go ahead.
Steven says, why? Why, in the name of all things wise and wonderful, do we continue to accept almost anything about this damn administration as normal? It is not, and the vandalism to this country and democracy is irreparable. And that's Steve from Saugerties.
We cannot normalize this behavior. I agree with him. We just have to keep saying this is not normal.
Okay, but we don't know how to cope otherwise. I mean, there's so much noise and static out there in the entire political and socio-political environment. I don't know how we'll cope if we don't put it in a corner of our mind someplace and say, okay, it is what it is.
Okay, let's assume for a second, Helen and Teresa, and let's assume for a second he fires Mueller, which I do believe he's going to do, or Rosenstein. What happens? Do people pick up their mops and pails and go and march around the White House? I mean, what is it that... You know, Steve's very good letter expresses what so many of us feel, but what's the answer? What do we do?
Well, I mean, we live in a democracy,
yeah,
right? Thank God. One of the strongest democracies in the world. And I think one answer has to be that our elected officials, how about our members of Congress, stand up and make a big fuss over it. And also people, you're right, people are going to have to take to the streets in protests, marches, parades, letter writing, all kinds of the standard democratic process activities.
People need to register to vote.
Right.
People need to register to vote, and also the media needs to consider to do its job. They need to continue to do their job, and they need to report the facts about what's happening in the administration, and we need to not speculate about this investigation. We need to focus on ways we can make differences and continue to move forward, beginning in classrooms at the youngest level possible.
And I think also you have to keep asking your member of Congress, what do you think about this? So, for instance, this briefing just the Republicans and the House Intelligence Committee and not everyone else. What does Congressman Faso, or what does the Lee Stefanik, or what does Congressman Tenney, or anybody, what does Congressman Tonko, what do they think about that? They have to be held accountable for what they think, because these are violations of the basic norms of our democracy and perhaps rules of our democracy. And so our elected officials, do they think that that's acceptable or not?
Well, what's interesting is they seem to have stood back and waited and allowed Pelosi and Schumer to speak for them, right? I mean, it became a real political leader situation and sort of protect the members. I mean, they're I think a lot of them, not all of them, but a lot of them are afraid of the election issue that's looming and the political campaigns.
But citizens can ask their elected representatives to say what they think about
what's
going on.
In a town meeting or something like that.
Right. If they have one.
Yeah,
they
don't. Yes.
Well, Devin Nunes, he has a little problem because he hasn't had a town meeting in a couple of years
now
or
you have
met
gone
with the public.
And upset my whole morning, Teresa.
Why?
That name gets me more than any other that's around here.
Now, how is he going to eat the rest of that pastry with his stomach?
And I'm interrupting the letters. Let's see. Get back to your letters. I want more letters.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Clearance says Reed. Please tell me how someone can submit FARA applications with incorrect missing information multiple times, admit to meeting with Russian nationals, and the pretext of receiving dirt on a political opponent, have vast amounts of very questionable financial dealing, and still in capital letters get a security clearance. one question mark separated by two exclamation marks plus a fourth question mark. I'm steadily losing faith in Mueller, the Justice Department, and the IC rooting out the corrupt. Well, Reid, you broke a couple of laws here. You're not supposed to use initials ever. You're not supposed to just say, spell it out. You know what I mean?
But, you know, the president is going further in his interference almost with the operations of the intelligence community and the FBI and all of that than any president's done for a long, long time.
Oh, it's just...
And
it's,
so, yeah.
This can't be constitutional.
I think the fact that his son-in-law got his clearance and all that, I mean, who knows where that's standing in all this uproar between Trump and the intelligence community.
All right. Jeannie says, the president took an oath to uphold the Constitution of the United States. Freedom of speech is so important. It's part of the First Amendment. As the head of the executive branch, Trump violates his oath every time he tries to silence protesters or the free press. Our country was founded on protest and debate. Telling someone they should get out of the country for protesting is un-American. Add it to the pile.
Absolutely.
And LL says, all right. That better be Larry in Woodstock. I don't have a problem with NFL players not standing for the anthem. I have a problem with cops unnecessarily shooting black men in the back. And Lori says, what do you think about the comments made by Mr. Trump when Leslie Stahl interviewed him in 2016, only a short time after the election? We talked about this, by the way, on the Media Project.
It'll be on the Media Project at 6 on Sunday and 3 on Monday and anytime at WAMC.org.
Very nice, Caitlin.
When she asked about his frequent and vitriolic attacks on the press, his answer was, you know why I do it? I do it to discredit you all and demean you so that when you write negative stories about me, no one will believe you.
Hey, that's exactly what he's doing. You know, he's following his own playbook, and he'll say, as does his press secretary all the time, you voted this guy into office knowing exactly what he said he was going to do.
Right.
And now he's doing it.
His behavior, he behaved like this as a business person, as a bully, and not paying his bills and not respecting the norms and rules. And he behaved this way in the campaign. And why did they expect anything else?
Joseph says, kneeling, good morning, panel. I think the most important aspect of the new NFL rules, clearly instigated by Trump's intervention, is totally racially motivated. Mr. Trump dislikes black people, especially Barack Obama, any other color of human that's not white. Simple, concise racism. And Roseanne says, dear panel, what would happen if all football players did not show up for their first games to protest? Imagine the money the owners would lose, to say nothing of what the players would lose.
Except for that the fans would be penalized. That's an interesting idea.
But the pressure's going to be on these players, too, to take some more political action, right? Mm-hmm.
So Ray from Woodstock writes, NFL, hello, panel. The NFL goes ahead and suppresses the players who want to kneel for the national anthem. I will be turned off to American football and will watch it even less than I do now. I once had an interest in football, but over the years have watched it less as the truth about brain injuries become known. Now that owners seem to be caving in to Trump, I, along with many others, suspect will move away from the game.
Wow.
I've never watched it myself.
Watch the Antiques Roadshow instead.
Yeah, I love them, Antiques Roadshow. Okay. Rich says, complicit. Good morning, panel. Are we now in a constitutional crisis with the behavior of the Republican House members' support of Trump? Thank you, Rich. And Mary says, good morning, panel. The Supreme Court of the United States opined in this matter in the 1943 landmark case of West Virginia State Board of Education versus Barnett when it wrote, to believe that patriotism will not flourish if patriotic ceremonies are voluntary and spontaneous instead of a compulsory routine is to make an unflattering estimate of the appeal of our institutions to free minds. And that's from Mary.
All right, let's go to, we just have about 5 minutes left, so I do want to make sure that you know about the lockbox and the fact that we desperately need your help. WAMC.org. WAMC.org. And it's been a good morning, but we've gone through a lot of tickets, but we have a lot of work to do. So what is on the table? A $100 pledge will get you a pair of undated lawn tickets to Tanglewood for the Boston Symphony Orchestra Boston Symphony Orchestra as well as the Boston Pops, and that's $100. And you can also add on and do for $150, get a blanket with those tickets or get wine tumblers with those tickets, these really cool weather-resistant tumblers so you can have your wine outside not worried about the environment or breaking glass and having somebody step on it or anything like that.
And let me just say, there is no more beautiful venue in the world, and I mean the world, than Tanglewood, where
you are right.
Where every blade of grass is perfect, where the trees and overlooking the Stockbridge Bowl. And if you haven't been to Tanglewood, you don't understand what the vortex of the Berkshires are all about. We are all so proud of that institution.
And we thank them. All you have to do to get your tickets and to help out the radio station, WAMC.org or 1-800-323-9262. We got a lot of money to make. We have a $25,000 challenge on the table and basically need to make about $190,000 between now and June 4th, which is only a week and a half away. So we really need to make it quick. We welcome you to help us out right now. WAMC.org, WAMC.org. And, yes, operators are standing by. 1-800-323-9262, 1-800-323-WAMC. And I just realized, Alan, that I held out four letters from you.
Okay, here we go. Okay, greetings panel. I think it was Alan that stated a while back that China was pulling the strings to make this peace happen. What if the whole plan was to have this kind of outcome? To me, as bad as North Korea is, it seems to me the more reasonable party in this situation. It just seems to push the image that the U.S. is the child, the weaker, and the unreasonable party. Thoughts? We've already given some thoughts on that. Greg says, Schumer, amazing. How can you say Schumer's doing amazing? Democrats like Schumer and Pelosi, they have no stance, no passion. They don't represent the real progressive agenda. They seem old, stale, conservative. He was just out there saying how great the embassy move was in Israel, championing Ivanka and Jared, smiling in designer suits and dresses while people with not two nickels to rub together a gun down for touching a fence. How is that progressive? And then... From Andrew, Trump canceled the meetings because it was evident that Kim was going to do it first.
Right.
If anyone was going to be stood up, it wasn't going to be Trump. And that's from Andrew. And Peter says, Donald Trump fancies himself the master deal maker. Deals require some give and take. But Trump, the macho man, will never yield anything because that would be weak. It all has to do be on his terms. What kind of deal making is that?
All right. Those are the letters. Okay, so we only have about a minute left. Let me just thank Helen for being here. And you have any?
I'm just thrilled to be back. This has been such fun.
And we can get her on the phone, right, Joe?
Yeah, we certainly can.
I love it.
I mean,
the tenor of the conversation and discussion has just been remarkably high. I'm delighted.
Well, we're just showing off for you. It isn't usually this.
Thank you. I did call in ahead.
But thank you very much. Good to have you. Oh, my God, Teresa. We thank you so much for coming on and for being with us for the last year and a half. And for those of you who missed what we were talking about a little bit ago, Teresa has a paying gig and decided to go where the money is. And can't blame you for that.
Yeah, I need to do that.
You need to live and eat, all that stuff.
But I really, it's as I say, it's been a privilege, and I thank everyone for letting me do this. And you can still follow me on Twitter at TBOUG. Follow me.
All right.
And,
we'll,
and this is, you know, see you later, not goodbye.
Yes.
See you later.
Nice.
Hasta luego.
We'll get you back. I know that some of them have contracts and they have time limits. Yes. We'll get you back. It'll all come back.
But thank you, Alan and Joe, for the privilege.
Of what, if Helen is proof, look, they always come back.
You know, that's true.
You can't get rid of them. They always come back. It's all great. All right. Kaylin, thank you very much. Alan, a pleasure. Awful, it is not. We thank you very much. We'll be right back after this.